pray, and then we will jump right into the word of the Lord. Yahweh, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your mercy, Lord. I thank you that your mercy and grace is renewed every day. I thank you for my brothers and sisters that's in this call and get to hear this message. I thank you for protecting our families. I thank you for taking care of us, for never leaving us or forsaking us. I thank you that you're faithful, God. I thank you that you're a good, good father. I thank you that you have plans to bless us and to uphold us and to keep us in your perfect plan of peace. Today, Lord, I pray that you'll give us a word that will help us, strengthen us, and most of all, Lord, that we can let our light so shine before men that they can see our good works and make sure that you get the glory in heaven. We praise you and we thank you for being our King and our God. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 21, verse 30. What I want to talk about today is, maybe it's a different kind of word, but it's what comes with being a child of God. What some of the benefits, does God expect out of you and me? Do we have to work and try our absolute best every single day? Do we just sit back and sit on the couch and say, well, God will take care of it? Well, I think it's a mixture of both, because James said, listen, show me faith without works and I'll show you my faith by my works. And I think one of the greatest examples of a conversion is definitely, you know, Saul turned into Paul on his way to Damascus. And just for the sake of time, because I was a little late today, I'll hit some of the backstory. You have Paul, who has completely been converted. You have Paul, who has went to Damascus to persecute, to kill, to imprison God's people. He has an experience with the Lord Jesus that forever changed his life. And thank God he allowed that conversion, that change, to convert millions and millions and millions of people along the way. But as Paul goes back to his hometown, and I'm paraphrasing here, and Paul goes back and visits some of the places that he used to persecute, people had a lot of trouble. People had a lot of doubt that he was being genuine. People didn't believe that Paul had been changed. The first point I want to hit on today is when God changes your life, it is not your or my responsibility to play Mr. or Mrs. Convincer of the people. You see, so many times when God does something amazing in our life and he changes it, and yes, we need to share the good news with people. Yes, we need to make sure we live a certain lifestyle. Yes, we need to encourage. But at the end of the day, it's God that changed your heart. It's God that changed my heart. So the pressure can be off you and me for us to feel like we've got to make sure we change somebody. We've got to make sure that we persuade somebody. We've got to make sure that we convince them to live like we're living, or we convince them to believe exactly what we believe. Because when you put it into very, very simple terms, that never worked for me. My mom or my dad or preachers or so many people in my life would scream at me till their face was blue and tell me don't do this or do something else. And it never really hit home with me because it was a heart issue I was dealing with. So the first thing that I recognize from Brother Paul here is Paul, yes, he gives his speeches. Yes, he preaches. But he never harps on people to the point where he feels like it's his responsibility to change them. You see, that's a lot of weight off our shoulders when God, if you're one of the first people in your family or your friend circle or whomever or wherever it may be, if you're one of the first people that God's changed, that God's done something miraculous in, I know there's a lot of pressure that comes with you want people to experience what you're experiencing. And it comes from a good place, but I know early on in my conversion, in my relationship with God, I had to be right. And sometimes I still fall into that for sure. I wanted people to know what I thought used to be wrong, that it was right. And what I thought used to be right was wrong. And I would try to persuade and persuade to the point where it was more about me being right than it was about the heart of Jesus. It came from a sense of pride saying that, listen, this way that I thought was wrong now, I'm getting to experience it, and I want you to experience it. And sometimes that can come across in a harsh way. So you don't have any pressure to be the one to convince. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that changes people's hearts. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that changes people's minds. So you have in Acts chapter 21, Paul has went back and he's preaching to these people and he's sharing the good news and he's telling them, listen, there's a better way to do it than what you guys are doing it. They're coming up against him and he says, listen, I've lived like you're living. I was literally in your shoes just weeks, if not months ago, but God changed me. And I want to explain to you how God changed me. The people would come up into an uproar. And one of the greatest things that I want to look at today is when you are serving God, then I promise you God will be the one responsible to protect you. He'll be the one responsible to keep you. He'll be the one responsible to love on you. He'll be the one responsible to encourage you and to strengthen you. You don't have to worry that God won't be there. You don't have to worry that God will let you down. You don't have to worry that in the midnight hour when you feel like the devil's beating your head in, that God won't come up and raise up a standard. You can rest assured that God will do it, and he does it in many different ways, but you have to rest assured that God will always, always send a word. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse 30, all the city was disturbed, and the people ran together, seized Paul, and dragged him out of the temple, and immediately the doors were shut. Now, as they were seeking to kill him, word came to the commander of the garrison that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. He immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Verse 33, then the commander came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains. And he asked who he was and what he had done. Verse 34, and some among the multitude cried one thing and some cried another. So you have Paul who's preaching, the people coming, there's an uproar, they're beating him. But the Bible says that word came to the commander and to the centurions what was going on in Jerusalem, and they ran in and performed a rescue mission. They get Paul off to the side, they put him in chains, and they say, listen, why is this going on? What's happening? I want to skip over to Acts chapter 22, verse 23. The Bible said, and this is still the same uproar. Then as they cried out and tore off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks and said that he should be examined under scourging so that he might know why they should go against him. Verse 25, and as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned? Brothers and sisters, the greatest benefit that you and I have when we serve the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords is that we become his child. We have a birthright. We have rights that's been granted to us because the blood of Jesus made you and me whiter than snow. When Paul was in a situation that his life hung in the balance, Paul is not the one that rescued himself. It is a simple thought, but it changed the way I look at scripture yesterday when I was looking at it and got to share it with Alex. The Bible says that when Paul was getting beat, in other words, when Paul could not help himself, when Paul could not cry out, when Paul could not be his redeemer, when Paul could not be his own savior, the Bible says that news or that word came to the centurion and to the commander that there was an uproar in Jerusalem. And my question today, brothers and sisters, is who sent that word to the commander? Who sent that word to the centurions? And I believe it was God that sent that word. I believe it was God that stirred up a few people that let the centurion, that let the commanders know, listen, there's something going on in Jerusalem, and you may not understand it, but there's a servant of mine. There's a child of mine named Paul that I need you to go save. How many people today can testify that there's a time in our life that God sent a word to deliver us? God sent a word to heal us. God sent a word to set us free. And today, hallelujah, I want you to know that God is sending you a word just to call you child again, just to call you loved again, just to call you redeemed again, just to call you forgiven again. You see, today, God wants you to know that no matter the situation, no matter the circumstance, no matter if you're like Brother Paul that can't scream out that you need help, no matter if you're getting beat up, no matter if you're getting your head knocked in by the enemy, God will always send a word. The Bible is so clear. It says that because of the word, because of the news that traveled to the commander and to the centurion, that is what made them go into action and to go rescue Paul. And it's a beautiful story. I believe it's a story of Christ. The Bible says, in the beginning was God, and in the beginning was the Word of God, and the same was in the beginning. The Word was made flesh, and He dwelt among us, meaning the Word was Jesus. You see, in this situation, the Word was sent to deliver Paul and to rescue him so that he could have a new life and to be able to do mighty, mighty, miraculous things. It's the same thing. The word Jesus was sent to you and me so that we could experience a new life and we could become new citizens in heaven so that we could experience the love and the goodness and the grace of God. But in Acts chapter 22, verse 27, Paul says, listen, is it right for you guys to beat me? Is it right for you guys to mistreat me? Knowing who I am. Paul didn't say I'm a great man. Paul didn't say I'm this or that. He said I'm a Roman citizen. Paul understood that blessings came with his birthright. Brothers and sisters, you need to understand. I must understand that certain blessings, certain rights are awarded to you and me when we accept and have accepted Jesus as our Savior. The Bible says that we are more than overcomers now. The Bible says that we don't have to give up. We're the head and not the tail. We're the lender and not the borrower. We have a new life in Christ Jesus. So why do we forget that? When Paul had been beat up, when he was giving this speech to the commander and the centurions, and he was talking to them, it wasn't like Paul was in a good headspace. The Bible says that they had been beating him. They had been knocking him down time after time. Paul was about to lose his life if word had not been delivered to the commanders and the centurions. And when Paul can gather himself, the greatest thing he can say is, listen, I'm a Roman citizen. Are you sure you want to treat me this way? I challenge you today that when the enemy comes in, when bad news comes in, when the bad doctor's report comes in, to look at that situation and say, are you sure you want to treat me like this? Are you sure, enemy, that you want to attack me like this? Because I'm a child, I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. I'm a child of the living God. Are you sure? Are you really, really sure you want to mess with one of God's kids? And it's a simple thought, I'm telling you today, but it will change you. It will change your history. It will change your future. It'll change everything about you, because if you understand who you are, then the enemy can't bring the same attacks. If you understand what God did for you in that perfect, beautiful crucifixion, that He that knew no sin became sin, so that you and I might be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If we understand that we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, then we can talk to the enemy and say, "Are you really sure you want to mess with me today?" Paul looks back at the commander and says, listen, are you really, really sure you want to do this? Because I'm a Roman citizen. And what the commander says back to him is absolutely beautiful. He says, listen, Paul, it took everything that I had. It took a great sum for me to become a Roman citizen. And it doesn't just mean that word there is not saying that, listen, I had to work 4 hours extra every week to pay for it. It's a word that means it took everything. It took all my strength. It took all my finances. It literally took everything I had to be able to become a Roman citizen. And Paul's response back to him was, listen, I know that's true, but I was born this way. The Bible says that when you and I accept Jesus into our lives, that we become a new creation, a new creature in Christ Jesus, meaning we were simply born this way. And it doesn't mean that Paul didn't understand it took this centurion a lot of money and a lot of effort to get this citizenship. But it does mean that Paul could say, listen, I know it took that for you, but I'm not like you. I was born this way. You and I have received the grace and the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ freely. He gave it. We didn't command it from him. We didn't request it from him. He simply gave it to you and me. And today, hallelujah, if you and me know that we're a child of God, if we know that we receive the grace and the mercy and the love of God freely, then we can look at somebody and say, listen, I know you're going through a lot of pain, but what I receive freely, you can receive freely. I know, enemy, what you're trying to bring my kids way, or what you're trying to speak over me, or all the trials and tribulations coming my way. I know that you think you're about to defeat me, but I was born this way. And I know that I'm a kid of the God of all creation. So are you sure you want to do this to me? You see, the Bible says that even the enemy, even demons tremble at the name of Jesus. Sometimes you or me maybe don't give God the appreciation or the reverential fear that we should. But the Bible says every single time that when Jesus would approach the demons or the demons would approach Jesus, they would ask him questions. Please leave us alone. They would say, listen, please cast us out of here. Please, child, please, Son of God, what do we have to do with you? They acknowledged him for who he was because they had no other choice. But today God gave you and me a choice. I promise you that if we will give our lives to God, then when we can't cry out for ourselves and we can't help ourselves, God will send a word. God will always send a word. He sent a word to a prison down in Rome, Georgia, almost 17, 18 years ago. He sent a word and delivered so many people in so many situations that I've seen. And he sent a word to you. And when that word came, you received it freely. So now that you and I are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, we have benefits, we have rights, we have things that God gave us freely and wants us to experience. But we must be like Paul and say, listen, I was born this way. In other words, we must acknowledge who we are in him. I don't want to get to heaven and God say, listen, you didn't have to deal with those headaches, Alan. I don't want to get to heaven and God say to me, listen, if you would have went and prayed for so-and-so, I would have raised them up. I want to experience my birthright now and forever. I want to experience what God has given me now and forever. I want to be like Paul and say, I was born this way. And I want to be like Paul, and when I can't cry for myself, I always want God to send a word. That's the kind of God that you and me serve today. When we can't cry ourselves, he'll send a word to encourage, to uplift, to rescue, to help out of that situation. That's the kind of God that you and me serve. He is exactly who he says he is. Let's pray. Yahweh, I thank you today. I thank you that you're a good God. I thank you that, Lord, that when we were like Paul, when we are like Paul, and we can't cry out, that you'll always send news. God, I thank you for your word that it will accomplish every single thing that it sets out to do. I thank you, God, that your word's like a boomerang, that when you speak it, it's got to come back to you, and it has to fulfill every desire, every meaning, every accomplishment that you want it to take care of. It has to do that when it comes back. Yahweh, I thank you that you're good. God, and I thank you for my brothers and sisters that God, today, today, right now, Lord, even if they're not in this call, when they hear this word, that right now, at this moment in time, that we will experience your goodness. We will understand the revelation that we are new creatures in you, and that we can speak to the enemy and say, are you sure you really want to mess with us? Are you sure you want to really want to treat us this way? Are you sure that you want to mess with God's favorite kid? God, you're good all by yourself. I thank you that you're who you say you are. I thank you for every one of my brothers and sisters, family and friends and loved ones and enemies. And I pray that you, God, will receive the glory and the love that you so rightfully deserve. Lord, I pray that you bless every business represented. I pray, God, that you will bless my brother-in-law, Lord, who lost his dad yesterday. God, I know you as the God of all comfort. And I pray that even now, when he hears this message, I know he'll go to the word. I know he will. And when he gets that word, Lord, I pray that it encourages him. I pray that it strengthens him. I pray for his mom, that you will give her a perfect peace. And God, I know we all have family and friends that we've lost. And I pray that you will be the comforter, because that's exactly who you are. We love you and we thank you for never leaving us or forsaking us, for being better than we are to ourselves. And by faith, we consider these things done. We pray them in Jesus' name. Amen.